السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship in truth other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, and created from that soul its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah to whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and speak the truth, in order that He may correct your deeds and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion, and every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a shrank, and every shrank is in the hellfire. Before we begin our class today, we want to make a note that when studying Islam or learning the religion of Islam, at times we come across many different explanations to the same ayah or to a particular hadith. One brother says that the ayah means such and such, or one scholar says that the ayah means such and such, and another scholar says that it means something different from that. And the same thing with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi. One brother will say that that hadith means such and such, and another brother will say that that hadith means such and such. All of us at times are faced with this problem. We heard that the hadith meant this, or the ayah meant that, and then someone else says it means something different. As a general rule, and this is one of the rules that I had come to use for myself, and later on I heard it from my Sheikh Muhammad Lohr or from Senegal, that when we're faced with these different meanings, then we should take the meaning that is closest to what the actual text is saying. When we listen to the Quran, or we listen to the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a lot of times it's basically straightforward and clear. don't come close to fornication. What type of explanation do you need? Establish the salah, pay the zakat, and on and on. JazakAllah khair. When we're faced with these different meanings, first of all, we should take the meaning or the explanation that's closest to what the text is exactly saying. Secondly, and we have a right to, we should be suspicious that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us one thing, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us something, somebody says, no, it doesn't mean what it says, it means something else. We should be suspicious of that right away. Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the world, who sent His perfect speech, the Quran, to humanity, He didn't leave it to be misunderstood. Or He didn't tell us to do one thing and mean for us to do another thing. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa was sent to an illiterate nation. He didn't come to those people to talk to them in parables or whatever you want to call it, to say one thing and to mean another thing. So if someone is coming to us saying that that ayah that is saying what it's saying doesn't mean what it says, first we should be suspicious of that. And when we hear two different explanations for one ayah, we should take the explanation that's closest to what the text is actually saying. I'm not saying that at times something is apparent to us from the ayah and the meaning is other than that. When we have an explanation, when we have an explanation from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was entrusted with the explanation of the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have revealed to you the zikr, or revelation, in order that you may explain to humanity what has been revealed to them. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this ayah means such and such, case is closed. And likewise, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who lived with him, gave bay'ah to him, the allegiance to him, fought with him, died with him, struggled with him, witnessed revelation being revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were right on the set. Bam, the camel fell down. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on top of it. It looked like he's having a difficult time. Afterwards, we find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to him such and such. Those people who witnessed that, if they explain to us that what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant by such and such is such and such, then we take it. Then we take it. Even if it seems to oppose the apparent meaning. That's because we have it coming from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or from his companions. But we're saying that, we're not saying not to take that. Rather, it's compulsory that we take the explanation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. We're saying that when it's down the line, brothers of the 15th century, Hijra, nowadays they're saying this means that. Will you get that from our feet? He following that scholar, the other brother is following another scholar. Me, I'm an everyday person. I go to work, I take care of my family. I'm just trying to practice Islam, worship Allah. I ain't got no time to be reading in that. That's for the people of knowledge. And it's only on me to go and question them, what does my Lord want me to do? When I question them, he told me one thing, the other brother told me another thing. That everyday person, we're trying to give him rules in order that he can live his Islam with and not be tricked and fooled by the people who want to trick and fool us after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to Islam. And that is to take the meaning that is closest to what the ayah or the hadith is actually saying. And this rule we wanted to advise the people with in order that they don't burden themselves, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed Islam, He didn't reveal it as a burden to us. And we shouldn't have to burden ourselves as to know which one should I take. This explanation or that one, but we take the explanation closest to the actual meaning of the text. But if we have, like we have, for example, وَلَا تُلْقُوا the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى تَهْلُكَ, and don't let your hands lead to your destruction. That ayah has an apparent meaning, and many people are confused with that meaning, like they were during the time of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at that brother. He's going to leave his job and leave his family to go fight jihad fi sabilillah. He's letting his hands fall to his destruction. We're going to take care of his family. He's going to take care of his family. The brother's leaving. He's got a responsibility. He's a man. He's the head of the household. They used to think this from the time of the companions, رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. But Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, رضي الله تعالى عنه, he explained to them, this ayah doesn't mean what it appears to you to mean. And that is, if we leave off the domestic affairs, we leave off the 9 to 5 and taking care of our family and making sure everything is okay on the home front. If we leave off that, we'll let our own hands lead to our destruction. He said, rather, it's other than that. When you make it your main concern to take care of these everyday affairs, of these domestic affairs, and leaving off jihad fi sabilillah, this is the meaning, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is meaning when he says, don't let your hands lead to your own destruction. Meaning that, if you stop fighting jihad fi sabilillah, you're letting your hands destroy you. This is what is meant by the ayah. They were confused during the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi, during the time of the companions radiallahu anhu, because in those days jihad was the epitome of his deen, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi said it was. And the Muslims were always fighting. The first generation, 100 years or so, there was always a fight somewhere. There was always some kafir to be killed, to have his money taken, to make his wife, to make their women our right-hand possessions, to make their children our slaves. There was always some place in the world where people wanted to prevent the message of Islam from being spreaded, and jihad had to take its place, and that, and those people had to be fought for the sake of making Allah's deen uppermost in the land. So you can see at that time how people could be confused as to think that we ain't got no time to be fighting, look. We're the Muslims. We in charge of the whole world. We in charge. This Arab. We call people to Islam in the Arabic language. If they don't understand it, they have to be worried about our army if they don't accept Islam. We ain't got to be worrying about translating to them. You can see how those people who are on top of the world could have misunderstood this ayah. Look, we done killed the kafirs. Allah has spoken the truth when he told us that his religion will be uppermost in the land, even if the kuffar hated it. Now we see Allah has given us the victory. Once they had conquered Mecca, it was clear that the Muslims were victorious. Nowadays, it's easy for it to be the real, true meaning of this ayah, as it was explained by Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, the Mujahid, radiallahu anhu, that leaving off of the jihad is letting our hands lead to our own destruction, and all we have to do is look at us in the world and see that we are being destroyed everywhere you turn your head, everywhere you listen, you find that the Muslims are being dogged out. At any rate, to make the point is that when we're faced with accepting one of two meanings to a particular ayah or hadith, we should take the meaning that's closest, the explanation that's closest to the meaning, to the actual saying of that ayah or that hadith. Unless we have an explanation from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or from the companions, radiallahu anhu. This rule we have to work with all the time so as not to burden ourselves. And we also want to mention that at times when this explanation, the two explanations come to face to face with one another, one brother is defending one of the explanations and the other brother is defending the other explanation. Well, this is what happened on the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he saw his companions one day arguing as to the meaning of a particular ayah. Some said it meant this, and others said it meant that, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith said, اقرأوا القرآن ما اختلفت عليه قلوبكم وإذا اختلفتم فقوموا. Read that Quran so long as you agree that each ayah has that particular meaning. But if you differ, then disperse. But if you differ, then disperse. Because at times, our intellect, some people are more intelligent than others. Some people can understand something and other people couldn't. If we had to defend our position, you have one brother on one side and one brother on the other side, maybe you can argue forever and never agree to one particular meaning. But if you continue that arguing, for sure, it will lead to hatred in the heart of the believer. And this is why the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his wisdom, and this authentic hadith, is giving us guidance to keep us away from that arguing. Because if you argue and you differ, it will weaken you. If you argue and differ, it will weaken you, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. I don't remember the exact quote. But he's telling us to obey Allah and obey his messenger. And that if we differ, then that will make us fail and we will be weak. Our strength will become weakened if we differ. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that if we are confronted with having these two different explanations to one ayah, particular ayah, or one particular hadith, then we should just disperse. And don't let it go any farther than that. So just to make the point clear, inshallah ta'ala, when we're faced with two different explanations of a particular ayah or a particular hadith, we should take that meaning which is closest to the actual text. Unless we have the explanation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the explanation of his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'een. And if those two explanations are confronted, if there's a confrontation between two brothers, one over the east side, They do their best as to convince one to the other position. If it works, alhamdulillah, and if it doesn't, then we should disperse from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for our lesson today, inshallah ta'ala, we want to again delay the issue of 60 some ways to get to Jannah. Because we have felt that last week's lesson on sincerity, the reminder that we have given to ourselves and to the believers, didn't really sink in. That people thought that this sincerity thing is cool on the other person. I see, you heard the talk, right? You know? Make sure you get your program together. You know, it's as if sincerity is for the next man. As for me, I got my thing together. But that brother, he's slacking up there. You can see he's not sincere here. You know, we're just going on judging everyone else, not worrying that sincerity, the obligation of being sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is on each and every one of us. We know that, as people have reminded me in the past, that sometimes I have a habit of saying the same thing over and over and over again. We heard you the first time, you said it the second time, a third time, explain it, say it another way, do other than just say it again. So for that reason, we're going to say the same thought, but we're going to use it in a different way, inshallah ta'ala, by using different ayahs and different hadith, so as hopefully not to bore anyone. But the reason we like to say the same thing over and over again, because it's from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we know, one day one of the men asked him, أوصني يا رسول الله. And he said, لا تغضب. فردد مرارا قال لا تغضب. Now this hadith where the man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give me advice, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, don't get mad. And he continued to say it many times, don't get mad, don't get mad, don't get mad, don't get mad. And we have the other example of one of the hadith where they say, well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to speak, he used to speak in threes. And he would say it like, salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum. And if he ever said something, he would say it to the people three times so they can comprehend it and memorize it and understand it so that they can live it in their lives. And just like one of the examples that was mentioned recently concerning the 4th of July, about Shahadatul Zur, or witnessing or celebrating the festival of the Mushrikeen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was advising his companions one day, when he came to the point of saying, Allah wa qawla zur, Allah wa shahadatu zur, and when he got to that point, he stood up, and he just kept saying it, and saying it, and saying it, to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I wish he just stopped. I wish he just be quiet, because he said it so much. And this is why, inshallah ta'ala, when we speak, we like to say it a few times, so that the people can memorize the guidance from their Lord, from the Quran, or the guidance from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that they can pass it on. Like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey from me whatever you have, even if it's one piece of information that you have from me. So it's good that if we teach something, that we try to mention it as often as we could, so that the people can memorize it, so that he can spread it on to the next person, and spread it on to the next person, so that the sunnah can spread among the people. Learning this deen shouldn't be difficult. If some people come to learn the lesson and they pick up something and they spread it to someone who wasn't here, who would spread it to someone, who would spread it to someone, then people could learn Islam, just like in the example of the Hadith al-Jariya, where the slave girl was brought to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was asked, where's Allah? And she said, above the heavens. And was asked, who am I? And she said, the Messenger of Allah. That slave girl, she wasn't a student of Islam in order to know where Allah is. And you have ulama across the Muslim world today who, if were questioned, where is Allah, would say to you, brother, that question even isn't even permissible to ask, let alone me answer it. And then if he were to answer it, he would answer with the famous statement, Allah is everywhere. وَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ عَمَّا يَقُولُ الظَّالِمِينَ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be high above what the oppressors describe on earth. Anyway, that companion of that slave girl was a mushrik, and she used to take care of sheep in the Badia, I don't know what you call it, in the farmland or whatever, away from the people. Her master, Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami, he wasn't even among the learned, among the combined partners to him. And offer prayers perfectly and give zakat, and that is the right division. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to worship Allah, being sincere to Him in our worship. And this ayah we didn't mention last time, and we wanted to mention it this time to be a reminder to the believers that we have been commanded to worship Allah sincerely and solely for His sake. Just as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us in these hadith that we want to mention today, by showing us that when we do something, when we do an act of worship, or we make a statement on our tongue, or we hold a belief in our heart, that we shouldn't hold that belief because other people know we hold that belief. We shouldn't make those statements because we know other people will hear those statements. And we just shouldn't do those acts of worship or those deeds because we know other people will see us do them, or will come to learn that we do those things. As the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith, يا معشر من آمن بلسانه ولم يدخل الإيمان قلبه، لا تغتابوا المسلمين ولا تتبعوا عوراتهم، فإنه من اتبع عوراتهم يتبع الله عورته، ومن يتبع الله عورته يفضحه في بيته. And this is collected by Abu Dawood in his Sunnah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O group of people who have believed with their tongue, but Iman hasn't entered into your heart. And this is why we wanted to again continue on al-ikhlas or sincerity for those people who the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to in this hadith. O group of people who have believed with your tongue, but Iman hasn't entered into your heart. I prohibit you from backbiting the Muslims and for fault finding of the Muslims. And whoever seeks to fault find, or whoever makes it his job to look for the fault of the Muslims, Allah will look for his fault. And whoever Allah looks for his fault, Allah will expose him, even in the privacy of his own home. And this is the hadith that we were mentioning last time that I didn't have memorized, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose you even in the privacy of your home, of your own home. So never think that you're too good in your game to get away from Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the world, Al-Khabir, Al-Sameer, Al-Aleem, Al-Basir. You think you can get away from him? He will expose you even in the privacy of your own home. Don't backbite the Muslim, and don't go fault-finding to try to find all of the faults in the Muslim, just to say that brother can't do this, that brother has this fault, he has this. Because whoever does that, the Prophet of Allah, who doesn't speak on his own desires, only speaks from revelation revealed to him, says that Allah will find your fault. And whoever Allah finds the fault of will expose him even in the privacy of his own home. What you do in the privacy of your own home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he pleases, because of your disobedience to him, that he wants to expose you, you expose. You expose. So let's begin to take this lesson, inshallah ta'ala, for ourselves. Not for the next brother. Not for the fault of the next brother. I see you need to be sincere. I see you see you're not competent. I see you see that you're not competent. I see you competent, but everybody knows you ain't sincere. What about number one, like they say? Is he sincere? Is he competent? Today we hope that these texts from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this revelation, will enter the hearts of each and every one of us, and that they not be for the sake of everyone else. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing us the importance of sincerity and doing things sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, shows us, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith collected by Tirmidhi and al-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah, Man sa'ala al-qatla fi sabilillahi sadiqan min qalbihi afa'u allahu ajra shaheedin wa immat ala firashi. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that whoever asks Allah to be killed fi sabilillah, making that request sincerely in his heart, then Allah will give him the reward of a shaheed, of a martyr, of a shaheed, even if he dies on his own bed. Even if he dies on his own bed. We see the importance of sincerity. who knows how they're going to be killed. We can all go out to kill and be killed fi sabilillah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the courageous who kill in his path and are killed in his path. Ameen. That whoever asks Allah, oh Allah, allow me to be killed in your path, whoever says that sincerely in his heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him, give him the reward of a shaheed, even if he dies on his own bed. Oh Allah, I ask you to give me shahada fi sabili. Oh Allah, I ask you to give me shahada fi sabili. Oh Allah, I ask you to give me shahada fi sabili. And this was one of the du'a of our Khalifa Al-Faruq Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, give me shahada for death fi sabilillah in the city of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah gave him just what he asked for. As we know that he was killed leading Salat al-Fajr by one of the mushrikeen in the masjid in the city of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi tells us, من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه دخل الجنة سبق كهذا. He beat you out. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim that whoever says La ilaha illallah sincerely in his heart enters Jannah. Whoever says that no deity has the right to be worshipped other than Allah sincerely in his heart enters Jannah. It seems as if, and a lot of people when we hear this hadith, and I'm the first among them, I remember when I first read it, I was, you know, I can't say how happy I was. Abu Muslimah, you over. You good. Don't even worry about it. All you gotta do is just keep saying, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. That Jannah you're looking for is yours. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said sincerely in his heart. When we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has the right to be worshipped, are we really saying that sincerely? We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدَ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It is not proper or fitting for believing man nor believing woman when Allah and His Messenger has decided in an affair that they have a choice in that affair. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has gone far astray or clearly astray. We know when something comes to us from the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tabarak wa ta'ala, or from His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we don't have a choice in that affair. For when a prohibition comes from Allah or from His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know we don't have a choice in that affair, as Allah tells us. So when we say La ilaha illallah, you want to test that sincerity? When that commandment comes to you, see how quick you are to do it. When that prohibition comes to you, see how fast you are to stay away from it. And you'll see how sincere you are. When that commandment comes to you, just see how fast you're ready to work by it. When that prohibition comes to you, see how fast you're ready to let it go. Then you can see the sincerity that you have in your heart when you say, La ilaha illallah. And then all we have to do is look at ourselves and see that we don't need to be concerned about the sincerity of somebody else. Knowing all of the commandments and all of the prohibitions that have come to us, that we still find a difficulty to come to grips with. Every single one of us, we still have difficulty coming to grips with them. Each and every one of us. So we shouldn't be worried about the sincerity of the next man. We should worry about how sincere we can be when we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man tawadha'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. And this is, I didn't do the taqeed of this hadith, but it's in Sahih al-Jami' by Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani. That whoever humbles himself, makes himself lowly in the sight of Allah, then Allah will raise him. And that is in this world and in the hereafter. In this world and in the hereafter. That whoever humbles himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever makes himself lowly, I'm nothing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except a slave among his slaves, Allah will raise him in this world and in the hereafter. This is to show the sincerity of someone. How humble can he be in the sight of Allah so that Allah can raise him? Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi told us, and this is going to come in the way to get to Jannah, that whoever leaves arguing off for the sake of Allah, even if he's right, then his reward will be Jannah. And we're going to quote that authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we come to it. But you see that when you feel you're right in a situation, it's hard for you to lower yourself, to humble yourself in the sight of Allah. But you want to prove to that next man, I can do this job. I know what I'm talking about. I'm sincere. You can trust me. We always want to prove to that next man how sincere we are and how competent we are and how much we can get the job done. But whoever humbles himself for Allah, Allah will raise him. If you're sincere, you don't have to prove to anybody you're sincere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're sincere, he can make everyone know that brother is sincere. And we have brothers among us, alhamdulillah, that when that brother's name is mentioned, you say, mashallah, that's a good brother. You can see that he seems to be sincere. And this is the way that we see him. And Allah is his judge, and we don't sanctify anyone in the sight of Allah. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa taught us to say. If we had commissioned someone in a good life, then we say, Hakada ahsabuhu, wallahu hasibuhu, wa la nuzakki ala Allahi ahad. Ahadan. That this is the way that we view the brother, and Allah is his judge, and we don't sanctify anyone in the sight of Allah, except that we just wanted to mention what we saw in that brother as a good quality. So whoever does something for Allah's sake, if he makes himself humble, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him. And if we look about, and we look at the scholars in the world today, we see that they were humble, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised them up to make their name known in the world. To make their names known. They didn't have to go on a campaign telling everybody, I memorized the Quran, I know this, I know that, I know this, I know that. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just raise them up. It will just come to the people that such and such is among the most learned, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just raise them up, and he'll be among the learned people. As we see the greatest scholars in the world, they were some of the most humble people that you ever met. If you met them, you could have never imagined, this is the man with all of that knowledge. This can't be him. And you could ask some of the brothers who have met some of the shuyukh. Like, alhamdulillah, we have had the chance to meet Ibn Baz, Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, Ibn Uthaymeen, Ali Hassan al-Halabi, Salim al-Hilali, Mustafa al-Adawi, Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini, heavyweight, high power. You look at him, you can't imagine he got something in his head a computer can't deal with. You can't imagine it when you see him. He's humble, salamu alaikum, how you doing, Allahu barakatuh. You're saying, well, who's going to meet the shaykh? That was him. That was him? Allahu Akbar. And this is how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was before all of us, who was the finest example. People come in the masjid, which one of y'all Muhammad? Which one of y'all Muhammad? Nowadays, you don't have to go anywhere to find out who the leader. You got the baddest car, you got the finest clothes, you got the biggest house, and everybody acting like he the man. There you go, right there. And people even feel that if someone should be in charge or on that level, it's not fit for him to be other than with the biggest house and the finest car and the best clothes and everybody acting like he's on top of everything. But whoever, like the Prophet of Allah tells us, whoever humbles themselves to Allah, Allah will raise them. And if Allah raises you, case closed. There ain't no need of worrying about how high you're going to be raised or what people are going to think, because once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, make everyone's heart soft, treat that person as if he's the most knowledgeable person in the world. It's over with. You just say, Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Bani, hafadahullah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this other authentic hadith, and a lot of these hadiths that we're taking now is from a collection called At-Targhib wa Tarhib by Al-Munziri. And we're taking it from the Sahih section, because Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Bani, hafadahullah, had divided that book into two sections, the authentic side and the unauthentic side. And that book is in four volumes. That book is all about the things that would encourage you to get to the Jannah. And that would encourage you to get to the Jannah and make you afraid of the hellfire. All of the hadith in there are of that type. That when you read it, it makes you want to strive for the Jannah, or it makes you afraid of the hellfire. Among those hadith is this famous hadith, or what we want to be a famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بَشِّرْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَالْدِينِ وَالرِّفْعَةِ وَالنَّصْرِ وَالتَّمْكِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَمَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْهُمْ عَمَلَ الْآخِرَةِ لِلدُّنْيَا عَمَلَ الْآخِرَةِ لِلدُّنْيَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith, says, give this ummah glad tidings of as-sina. And as-sina is the high position and the state of power in this world. As explained, and I'm taking the explanation of this by Abdurra'uf al-Manawi, who has explained a book, Al-Jami al-Saghir by Suyuti, and he calls it Tayr al-Kabir. Give this ummah glad tidings of Sina. And a Sina here means a high level, a high status in the world. And a deen. And by a deen, it means to be firm in their deen. And a rif'ah. And a rif'ah is to be high also in the hereafter. And a nasr. And victory over the enemy. What tamkina fil ard. And tamkina fil ard is the establishment or being well grounded in this earth, in the sense that we're in charge. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith, which is get some worldly gain for it, but that we have to do things sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this next hadith, and this is also from the book At-Targhib wa Tarhib, the Sahih section by Al-Albani, الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونَ وَمَلْعُونٌ مَا فِيهَا إِلَّا مَبْتُغْيَ بِهِ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. That this dunya is cursed. And everything in this dunya is cursed except for that which is done sincerely for the faith of Allah. Sincerely for the faith of Allah. And we want to make mention here that as our belief, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He has described Himself in His book and on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that He has a faith. But also the ulama of Islam have explained to us that also, though we attribute to Allah that which He has attributed to Himself, we don't negate the meaning that is taken from something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a well-known phrase, as this phrase, except that which is done for the sake of Allah, or except that which is done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah. And when we say that this phrase here means to do something sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, we're not denying the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a faith. But we're taking the meaning from that phrase also, and that is to do things sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dunya is cursed, and everything in this dunya is cursed, except that which is done for the sake of Allah, that which is done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال خرج علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن نتذاكر المسيح الدجال فقال ألا أخبركم بما هو أخوص عليكم عندي من المسيح الدجال فقلنا بلى يا رسول الله فقال الشرك الخفي أن يقوم الرجل فيصلي فيزين صلاته لما يرى من نظر الناس. And this is also from Sahih al-Targhib wa Tarhib. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out upon us, and we were mentioning the issue of al-Masih al-Dajjal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, would you like me to tell you something that's more fearful to you, in my opinion, than, or with me, or in my viewpoint, than the Masih al-Dajjal? They said, of course, Ya Rasulullah. He said, Ash-Shirk al-Khafi. Hidden shirk. And that is, as the Prophet ﷺ explained, and that is that a man stands up to make salah. And he beautifies his salah because he sees that other people are looking at him. This is the shirk al-khafi. And in other narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to it as a shirk al-asghar, or the minor shirk, as I think many of you have studied in the classes of Aqidah. That this minor shirk, or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another narration, that is al-riya, that the shirk al-asghar is riya, that this minor form of shirk is riya or hypocrisy. And when we say hypocrisy, we're not saying nifaq, which is also translated at times as hypocrisy, but we're saying riya. Nifaq, that is to outwardly express Islam, and inwardly in your heart you disbelieve in Islam, like the spies do. They come in, maybe they make some salah, listening, meeting the brothers, but they don't believe in Islam. That's nifaq, what they sometimes call it, hypocrisy. But this hypocrisy, al-riya, is that you do something to be seen of the people. You're not doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get the reward of the hereafter, but you're doing it for some worldly gain. That type of hypocrisy is al-riya. So here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us to be aware of this hypocrisy or this insincerity of doing things to be seen of people. Rather, we should do our things sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this next narration, إن أخوص ما أخاف عليكم الشرك الأصغر. قالوا وما الشرك الأصغر يا رسول الله؟ قال الرياء. يقول الله عز وجل إذا جزى الناس بأعمالهم اذهبوا إلى الذين كنتم تراءون في الدنيا فانظروا هل تجدون عندهم جزاء. The Prophet ﷺ says in this narration that what I fear, most of the things I fear for you, is a shirk al-asghar, the minor shirk. And they question, Ya Rasulullah, and what is the minor shirk? He says, Al-Riya. He went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah Azza wa Jal would say, when the people did their deed, and Allah knows best to the translation of jazanna to be amalian, that the people have completed their deeds or have done their deeds, referring to the deeds that are done not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, Allah will say, go to those people who you used to do your things so that they could see you in the dunya, and then look and ask, and then look and see, will you get any reward from them? When you're doing something so that the people can say, you see that brother, mashallah, look at his salah. You see that brother, see how much charity he gives, Allahu Akbar. You see that brother, and he's doing it so that the people can say that, oh man, he's a mujahid. Oh man, that brother's a scholar. That brother's one who gives charity. If he's doing it so that the people can see him, Allah's going to tell him, go to those people who you were doing that for and see if you find any reward with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is phrasing this in a way that of course there ain't no reward from them. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reward you. And how would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for something you did for somebody else other than for him, when he says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And they have not been commanded except to worship Allah sincerely in obedience to him in this religion. So here the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reiterating the point that we have to be careful that when we do our deeds, we make our statements, when we hold our beliefs, that they're not for other people to hear and see, but they're for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Hear it who hears it, don't hear it who don't hear it. See it who see it, don't see it who don't see it. This what I'm doing, inshallah ta'ala, is for Allah to see and for no one alone. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another narration, somewhat similar to this, And for this reason we have wanted to continue the ikhlas to really bring the point home, and inshallah ta'ala this hadith will. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا جَمَعَ اللَّهُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لِيَوْمِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ نَادَى مُنَادٍ مَنْ كَانَ أَشْرَكَ فِي عَمَلِهِ لِلَّهِ أَحَدًا فَلْيَقْلُبْ ثوابه من عنده فإن الله أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك. And this is also in the Sahih al-Tarjeeb, Tarjeeb wa Tarjeeb, where the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when Allah will gather the first people and the last people together on the day of resurrection, meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first people and the last people from the beginning of creation of humanity to the last person who will live on the face of the earth, when Allah gathers all of them up on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of resurrection, the day which there is no doubt in it, someone would say, whoever has made a partner in something that he has did, made a partner with Allah in something that he has done, then let him seek the reward from that person who he did it for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to believe, to say, and to do sincerely and solely for His sake. If we added put someone else in the picture as a partner besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we want to do this Allah for Allah and those brothers looking, then it will be said, go to that person and seek your reward. Go to that person and seek your reward. And who's going to reward someone on Yawm al-Qiyamah because he saw him doing this Salah? Because he saw him giving that charity? Because he saw him reciting that Quran beautifully? He's going to be worried about his own self. You're trying to please somebody who on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day that there is no doubt in, that person who you're trying to please, he's going to be worried about his own self. You trying to please him, you trying to make sure that when he look at me or when they look at me, they say, MashaAllah, you see that brother right there? He says, no, Alhamdulillah. And you just keep on doing it so that they can say that. Don't you know all y'all going to have to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that brother ain't going to be worried about you. He ain't going to be worried about that. Oh, that brother was doing such and such in the dunya. He's going to forget all of that. He's going to be saying, what about nafsi nafsi? What about me? What about me? How am I going to save me on that day? And this was the point that we wanted to make. That last week, the lesson, and inshallah God, we trying to make all our lessons in purification of the souls, of our individual souls, not of our brother's souls. We're going to come to the class to purify our brother's souls. Listen to the lecture, check that brother out. Yeah, you gotta get like this, you gotta get that right, you gotta get that right. I heard this, I know this. You're going to get everyone else straight. You gotta stand up too on your own account. Each and every one of us gotta stand up. This issue of sincerity ain't on the next man. All of us have to stand up by ourselves. And the only thing we're gonna have to help us after the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the deeds that we did. And each one of us knows what we're doing. But why should we be worried about the sincerity of someone else? At the end of the hadith, and this has always been kind of hard for me to translate, inshallah, the Imam to help me get this one. فإن الله أغنى شركائي عن الشرك. I thought that was a common phrase that everybody used. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so independent from having any partners attributed to him. And to show that, why should you do something for the sake of Allah? I mean, something for someone else and for Allah, as if Allah has a partner, and Allah is so high from having any partner. So why would you do something for Allah and for someone else? And I hope that inshallah ta'ala we have got the meaning across of إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَغْنَى شُرَكَائِي عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this next hadith collected by Imam al-Nasa'i says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يَقْبَلُ مِنَ الْعَامِلِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ خَالِصًا وَبْتُغِيَ بِهِ وَجْهُهُ. That indeed Allah ta'ala will not accept anything from among the deeds except that which has been done sincerely and solely for His sake. Done for His sake. Or for His sake, as we have said earlier. That there is no deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept except that one done sincerely and solely for His sake. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is guidance for all of us. And I don't know how much we can continue to say it and say it and say it, that we have to be concerned about ourselves on this issue of sincerity. And everything that stems from being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have explained in the last week's class. that if we want something, if we want that belief to be accepted, we want that statement to be accepted, we want that worship to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to make sure it's done sincerely and solely for Allah alone. No one else can get any of that. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith collected by Al-Bukhari wa Muslim, من سمعها سمع الله به ومن يرائي يرائي الله به. That whoever does something to be heard by the people, then Allah will سمع الله به.
Take a
Whoever does something to be heard by Allah, then Allah will make that thing to be heard. Meaning,
I remember now, alhamdulillah, what the Zakallah khayra to Shaykhana, wa imamuna yawdani,
that whoever does something to be heard, you know, you do that thing so that people can say, I did it. Everywhere across the world, like my brother was telling me about one of the imams who's saying this now, he said they remember the day when they were getting started. That imam said, inshallah, there's not going to be a house in America unless they hear my name. And now there's probably no house in America except they hear Muslim household, except that they hear the name of that imam. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what the Prophet sallallahu is meaning when he says, whoever does something to be heard, Allah will make that thing heard. Meaning Allah will let the people know that you only doing that so that the people can know or the people can hear that you're doing such and such. You want the people to hear, Allah is going to let them hear that you only doing it so that they can hear it. And at the end part, that's to be hearing it. And at the end, and whoever does something to be seen, then Allah will make him seen. If you're doing that thing to be seen by the people, Allah will make that thing be seen by the people. Seen that you only doing it so that the people can see it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking the truth. I know a lot of times when we do stuff, we think that we over because the people haven't seen our program today. What about tomorrow? We can get over. You can get over from the people until the truth of what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to pass, then what you going to do? You want to be heard? You want to be seen? You think the people won't know? What you going to do when Allah expose you? Expose you, not your brother, you. This issue of sincerity, we got to see that it's for us. Not just for the next person, but for us. And a lot of times, and I just keep on saying it, that we just think that it's for the next person. It's for the next person, but it's for us, it's for you. It's for every individual person, not just for that next person too, but it's for us. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that day, where there's no doubt about it, that day that each and every one of us know that we're going to have to stand by ourselves, why are we trying to fool ourselves now? As if we ain't going to have to meet that day that we know ain't no doubt about it. We know we're going to need Allah by ourselves. Why are we so concerned about the next person? Don't we know it's going to come a day like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in Surah Al-Abasa at the end of that chapter, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ.
Allah.
That day shall a man flee from his brother, and from his mother, and his father, and his wife, and his children. Every man that day will have enough to make him careless about others. That day you're gonna have enough to keep you so worried that you ain't gonna have a worry about the next person. Like we were mentioning before, we said you have to stand naked on that day. Now Isha was saying men and women to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha is greater than that. Naked don't mean nothing. Men and women naked. You so worried that you ain't gonna make it because you know what you did. You ain't even got time to be looking to the side. Who there? How can I help them? How can they help me? It's gonna be over. You're just gonna be worried about me, 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 me. I just want to. And this is the point that we just want to get across in this lesson. This issue of sincerity, that it's me, 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 and not the next person. Just as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, من سمع سمع الله به يوم القيامة ومن شاق شاق الله عليه or in this narration شاق الله عليه يوم القيامة. That whoever does something to be heard, then Allah will make that thing be heard, just as we said in the past, on the day of resurrection. And this was, as they were explaining that, sometimes maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his wisdom, he didn't allow you to be exposed right here in the dunya to the people. But on yawm al-qiyamah, you'll be exposed. See that person? He was only doing that so you can hear it. There's his punishment. On yawm al-qiyamah. And whoever makes it difficult for himself, whoever burdens himself, and he puts on himself a burden that he know he can't handle. Or he burdens the people to the level that he know that they can't handle it. Then Allah is going to burden him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Now who can bear the burden if Allah burdens him? And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who didn't burden us, فلولا أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك عند كل صلاة وعند كل وضوء من النظر نعيش. That if I didn't feel that I would have burdened my ummah, I would have commanded them to use the miswak every time they make salah, at every salah, and then every time they make wudu. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't command us because he thought he would burden us. And we should take this advice that we shouldn't try to burden our brothers and sisters in Islam. And a lot of times we know that we're burdening people, and sometimes we don't know. But we should always be mindful not to burden the Muslims. And on top of that, we should be mindful not to burden ourselves. We know if we can't handle something, let's don't burden ourselves so that we become incompetent, or we become a failure, or it brings about insincerity in us because we're trying to carry a burden that we can't handle. And when you're trying to carry a burden that you can't handle, the seams will just be busting out from here and there, and everything else will be taking the slack. Insincerity, incompetency, lying, stealing, cheating, getting over, and everything else will come into play when you burden yourself with a burden you can't handle, or when you burden your brother or sister with something they can't handle, all of this other stuff is going to come into play. And this is why, inshallah ta'ala, Allah will burden you for burdening yourself and other people on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This next hadith is a long hadith that we wanted to mention, but it's a famous hadith in Sahih Muslim, and I think that we could just read the translation, inshallah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says,
that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that the first people that will be judged on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of resurrection, is a man that was killed as a shaheed. He will be brought forth and he will be made to know his blessings, and he will recognize them. And then it will be said to him, what did you do? What did you do in that dunya? He will say, I fought for your faith until I was killed. Peace be upon Allah. Or I was killed as a shaheed. I fought for your faith and I was killed as a shaheed. It will be said, you lied. Rather, you fought so that the people can say he's brave. And they said it. Then it will be commanded to drag him in the, on his face and throw him in the hellfire. Because he didn't do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, he was just lying. He was just doing it so that people could say he's brave. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, and a man who learned some knowledge and taught and read the Quran, he will be bought, he will be made to know of his blessings, and he will recognize them. And then it will be said to him, did you teach, did you learn and teach the people and read the Quran for my sake? It will be said to him, what did you do? He will say, I learned and I taught the people and I read Quran for your sake. It will be said to him, you lied. Rather, you learned so that the people could say he's a learned person. And you read the Quran so that people could say he's a qari, he's a reciter of the Quran. And they said it. And it will be commanded to drag him on his face and throw him in the hellfire. Then a man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him much from all types of wealth, he will come to know that he will be reminded of that favor to him, and he will recognize it. And then he will be asked, what did you do? And he will say, I haven't left the past except that I have loved to give some charity in that past for your sake. It will be said, you lie. Rather, you did it so that people can say that he is just wise or generous. And they said it. He's generous. Then it will be commanded that he be dragged on his face and thrown into the hellfire. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us here three examples of people who in our eyesight we look to them as some of the best Muslims on the earth. But the reality of the fact is that they got over on us. Because we said it. He's awesome. He's a shaheed. He's courageous. He's generous. We were saying that we didn't know what was in his heart. But on that day, when he got to stand by himself, and the truth will be made clear, he's going to say you lie. He's going to be dragged on his feet and thrown into the hellfire. This example is enough for us, inshallah. Example is enough to show us the importance of being sincere and letting us know that we can get over on the people, but that you can't get over on Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and we will inshallah end it off with this last hadith, Inna Allah ta'ala muhsin fa'ahsinu, that indeed Allah ta'ala is a muhsin. Muhsin. And I forgot to look up the meaning of that. I thought it was apparent to me, but I don't see it now.
A perfectionist,
Jazakallah khairan.
Indeed, Allah is a muhsin. A perfectionist, so I command you to perfect what you do. So I command you to be perfectionist or to try to perfect whatever you do. Whatever we do, whatever belief we hold, we should try to perfect it. Try to make sure that it's correct and proper. And of course, to hold it in our hearts sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we talk, we want to make sure that what we say is correct in accordance with His deen. And then we want to make sure that we're saying it sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then whatever we do, good deeds, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to try to perfect it. We want to learn how to do it properly, and then to do it properly, and to do it sincerely, and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there was any good in what we heard today, then it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And my success is only by Allah. And if there was anything wrong or incorrect, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. That I don't run from the blame, from taking the blame. And the soul is inclined to do evil, except when my Lord shows His mercy. Alhamdulillah, Al-Hayyul Qayyum, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Oh Allah, we ask You for sincerity. Oh Allah, we ask You for sincerity. Oh Allah, we ask You for sincerity. Oh Allah, we ask You for the good in this world and the good in the hereafter, and save us from the hellfire. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Allah. As we were talking, about sincerity, why we do certain things, and that we should do it for the faith and for the sake of Allah. This is because I think maybe we can benefit by the answer. And that is, what if someone performs salah, or they pay salafa, or they force the ad to encourage someone to attract to that, or they were, you know, they weren't really performing their salah correctly, and we knew that they weren't performing their salah correctly. So when we know they came in, we try to make sure that they saw what we were doing so they can learn from it, in addition to what they've already been told. Or if someone was being, they had slackened up, so to speak, on their salafah, of which I don't know if you mentioned it, but when I heard you were mentioning what I was going to be like that, you mentioned jihad, I don't know if you mentioned salafah. I think this is also joined to the tide. If somebody has stopped saying salafa, like right now, you know, we need the roof fixed, things like this, and the messages, and people have, you know, the salafa has gotten lower. So now we want to encourage someone, we allow them to see us, or let it be known that we have given the salafa, or the same for the jihad. What would you say about this?
I don't know if everyone heard the question, but it was kind of long, we'll just try to paraphrase it, that suppose we're doing something to encourage someone else to do good. That we say that we have to do things sincerely and solely for the faith of Allah, for the sake of Allah. That sometimes we may do our salat and we beautify it so that the person can see this is how you're supposed to beautify the salat. Or we give charity so that the person can see this is how you're supposed to give charity. Or we fight for sabilillah to show the people this is the way that you should fight for sabilillah. How do we see doing that thing, trying to help that brother, and at the same time knowing that we should do things sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a common question that we all hold, me and me myself too. And I remember it was explained to me, and it's been a long time since I've said anything on that. But I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make what I'm about to say correct. And if it's wrong, I seek his forgiveness before I say it, and that I'm only trying to say what is correct. That person, when he wants to help someone else, to show them the fortunes of salah, firstly, he has to stand up to make your salah sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That has to be in every deed if it's going to be acceptable. But that doesn't negate the fact that he can somewhat add to that which is known as teaching. That it's permissible to teach the Muslim. Even though you are also doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a teaching someone at the same time doesn't subtract from that doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning you do that deed sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, and you're just keeping in mind teaching the Muslims how to do such and such. And like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did many things. Allow in front of the people as to teach the people. And we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't doing that to please the people. Wasn't doing it so that the people can say, see, he's doing such and such. But that he was doing it to teach the people, and it doesn't negate the fact that you're doing something sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah. Because when you're not doing it sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, you're only doing it so that person can say, see how good his salah is. You're not doing it as to teach the person that hopefully this will be a reminder to him. Hopefully this will be advice to him. Hopefully this will be a lesson to him. Not that he can say, I got my program together, I know how to do it good, but hopefully that when he sees me give that $100 for the roof for the Islamic Day School, that the person that's seeing it will feel bad. Yeah, I should be doing the same thing. I know I need to give peace of deity left. When you're doing that so that brother can see, as to teach him, as to remind him, as to encourage him, you're not giving him so he can go tell the people, yeah, the brother gave $100. Well, yeah, the brother gave $1,000. He's not doing it for that sake. But he's doing it for the sake of Allah, and then he's only doing it to teach the people. And whoever does something to teach the people, then he'll be rewarded accordingly. And inshallah ta'ala, I hope that the issue is clear, that there's no contradiction between doing something sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and teaching or encouraging someone, as opposed to doing something so that people can say he did it, or I heard him, or I saw him, and Allah knows better.
No.
Our focus on sincerity should be on ourselves, and that's concerned about our brothers and sisters. Holy worry and being concerned about ourselves. What is our position with the people of leadership, the people who lead us in battle, our emirs, my guests? Should we be concerned about their sincerity, should we have to follow them? The brother said that we're pushing or we're emphasizing that we should be worried about ourselves when the issue of sincerity is at hand. And what about the issue of sincerity when it's in concern of our leaders and the people who are leading us in jihad and so on? Should we be concerned about the people who are leading us and their sincerity? I don't know how to answer this except to say that none of us can open someone else's heart to see how sincere he is or how sincere he's not. But that we can look at him from what we know from the dunya and to support him if he's our leader. And if he's gone too far, if he's too corrupt, and of course everybody would make dua, oh Allah, give us a leader that's better for us. Oh Allah, remove this oppressor from us. And then other people would be advising him, oh, you're an oppressor, you shouldn't oppress us, advising him to do good and to stay away from that. But as far as the people are concerned, then we know that it's on us to follow our leaders. We know that it's on us to follow and to support
our leaders. And the leaders also know that they're in trouble if they're leading the people and the people hate them.
As the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a hadith that I forgot the wording of.
Yeah, you know, I forgot it. You know, I'm not sure that the Prophet of Allah say the curse of Allah is on the imam or the leader, at least the people want the people hate him, or some type of serious punishment or scolding on that person who's leading the Muslims, and the Muslims hate him as a leader. He's in charge of the affairs of the Muslims, and the Muslims hate him to be in charge of their affairs. I forgot what was the punishment for that person, or the scolding for that person. Inshallah ta'ala will remember, maybe the next time when the coming talk leader bring this text. So on one hand, you have the fact that no one can know the sincerity of another person except that we say, this is the way I see him, and Allah is his judge, and we don't sanctify anyone in the sight of Allah. Then we have, on the other hand, if we can say, I think we might have three hands here today, that the people have to follow their leaders. The people have to follow their leaders and support their leaders. And if the leader is right or wrong, then that's on him. And if you supported him and you're behind him and you followed him, then that's on you. So we have to follow our leaders and support our leaders and be down with our leaders. And then on the other hand, the leaders are ignorant people as not to know that they in trouble if they lead the people and the people hate them to be their leaders. And then of course, if we have leaders or people that are in charge, we have to take the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or act in accordance to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ad-deenun nasiha, that this deen is nasiha, or sincerity, and sincere advice. That if we're having a problem with someone, then we pull them to the side, and we try to remind them of the Book of Allah, of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Yawm al-Qiyamah, and everything that's going to take place, from going to Jannah and going to the Hellfire, and hope that that person will come around. This is what we should do if we're faced in that situation where we feel that the people in charge of us aren't doing what they should be doing, and we have to pull them to the side. If we're not making no big public display of something, as all the mash tell us, that really sincerely giving someone advice and support them to the side and tell them between you and him, not for the people to hear. But when you try to advise that person with the people to hear, what you're really doing is scolding him or exposing him or talking bad about him or something like that. So if we were to take the people to the side one-on-one for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the betterment of this deen, then we would advise that person likewise. Allahu A'lam.
You said that that Allah will burden us for burdening ourselves and others on Yom Kippur. And I was thinking, okay, sometimes we make falafel fakara about, you know, a matter, and then afterwards we, you know, I mean, sometimes we end up feeling like we can't handle whatever it is that we put on. And I was wondering, does that mean that we place a burden on ourselves that we can't handle, we can't bear? I mean, or do we make off the car the wrong way or something?
I've got to paraphrase the brother's question, what I understand correctly. So the Prophet is saying, as we have translated, that whoever burdens himself or burdens others, Allah will burden him on Yom Kippur. The brother is saying, at times we make Salatul Sahara